Father, bless these words in Jesus' name. In John chapter 10, now John is one of the Gospels. The Gospels are the story of Jesus' life. There's four of those. So four times we're told the story of Jesus' life. And the reason why it's done four times is because according to ancient Jewish tradition, you need several witnesses in order to make it correct. And John was one of the eyewitnesses. John lived with Jesus. He was actually Jesus' cousin. A lot of people don't know that. But John, who wrote the Gospel of John, was Jesus' cousin. John the Baptist, he was Jesus' second cousin. So this was a family affair with Jesus. And John was his cousin. But then again, people like Peter were not. But John was. And so was James, by the way. Those were Jesus' cousins. John, who was an eyewitness to a whole lot of stuff that Jesus did, he said, and he's quoting Jesus in verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Can you imagine that? Did you know? Now pay attention carefully to this. This is important. It's not the way it looks, but it is the way it is. That no one actually dies. No one dies. Not even animals die. Now, the body dies, but the person that's inside of the body never dies. And they will, if they're saved, if they believe in Jesus, they will go to heaven for eternity. Animals go to heaven. Sometimes people don't know that. Sometimes people think, well, animals just disappear. They die and that's the end of it. That's not true. The Bible tells us that animals do have a soul. And in Psalms, it tells us that after they die, they're shepherded. So there is a shepherd who takes care of animals. My personal opinion is that we get them back. That they care for those animals until we get there. Now, I don't know that for 100% fact, but I do know for 100% fact they do go to heaven. Why? Because they never fell. But they do have a soul. They have a soul because God breathed into them the breath of life. So animals have a soul and they do go to heaven. Now, we go to heaven if we are believers. Now, in heaven is where the soul continues to live. I worked in an emergency room for 9 years. And in an emergency room, you see a lot of people healed, a lot of people helped. But sometimes it happens that the doctors can't help somebody and they will die. And so in emergency rooms, you also see people die sometimes. And the amazing thing to me, and I didn't realize this before I worked in the emergency room, is that you can actually see people's soul, but you don't know that you're looking at it because you're so accustomed to seeing it. You see it all the time. It doesn't seem as anything unusual to you. But when you see a person who has died after you've seen them alive, you recognize that the soul is missing, that it's just the body that's left. The body is like a tent or like your clothes. You know, you go to bed or you go to take a shower or something, you take your clothes off and then you change clothes for the next day and what have you. It's like that with God. We take these clothes off. We call them our body. We take those clothes off, but that doesn't mean we've died. These clothes are not who we are. You are not your shirt. You just wear your shirt. But you're not your shirt. Good thing. You get something on your shirt, you'd be in trouble. You take your shirt off and you put on another shirt. It works like that with us. We take this body off and God gives us another body. Now in heaven, it's going to be called the soul body. But there will be a point in time called the resurrection. That means that everybody gets their original body back perfected. That whatever was wrong in that body is not going to be wrong anymore. It's all going to be perfect. and you're going to get that body back. So even if somebody dies and they leave this particular coat behind, that coat's going to be given back to them in perfect condition, like it was brand spanking new. And we're going to get our body back the same way. Now then Jesus continues and he says, they will never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all. And that's true, of course, right? God is greater than everybody. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What he's saying is, my Father and I are the same person. Now, if you're thinking of a human father, that seems kind of weird. How can my dad and I be the same person? He's my dad and I'm me. But with God, it's different. He called him his Father because he came from being God. He took on a body like a man, and he became a man even though he was completely God. But as God, he made himself that body. So in that sense, he calls him his Father, even though they're the same person. One of the trickiest things for people to understand is the Trinity. Have you guys heard of the Trinity? I'm sure that you've heard the idea, if not the word, that there is God, and that God is a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit. You've heard of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, right? They're the same person. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are not three people. They're one person. It works like this. Your dad works with cars. Now, if I come to your dad with my car and I say, can you fix my car? Then I'll have a certain type of a relationship to him. Right? I'm a customer, he's a mechanic, and that's a type of a relationship. Now, you don't know your dad as a mechanic. You know your dad as dad. But his customers know him as mechanic. Now, your mom does not know your dad as dad. She knows your dad as her husband. So now we have three different relationships with the same person. A customer and a mechanic, a husband and a wife, and kids with their dad. In the same way, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father is God in heaven, on the throne, running the whole thing, designed everything. The Son is when that God took on a human body and became a man. Now, he was still God. Remember, I told you this is a coat. Inside of this coat, God lived. That was the Son. The Holy Spirit was when God goes and he pours himself on people. Because he is a spirit, he can actually go inside of people and live there. And for everyone who's accepted Christ, he does live there. So it's the same person, but according to three different types of things, activities. That's what the Trinity is. It's still one person. And that person says, no one can pluck you out of his hand. No one. You can't pluck you out of his hand. It's not possible. There are some people who think that if you're saved, if you're going to heaven, that you can do something to change that. But that's not really possible. Because nobody can pluck you out of God's hand. That's a mistake people make. They say, well, if you become bad, then somebody can pluck you out of God's hand. No, he may discipline you like your dad may discipline you. If you misbehave, God can discipline you if you misbehave, but he's still your dad. Doesn't change. He might say, go to your room and no ice cream and whatever, right? But he's still your dad. He'll always be your dad. In the same way, nobody can change your relationship to God. Nobody can take you out of the hand of God. You can't take you out of the hand of God. Teachers cannot take you out of the hand of God. People who don't like you can't take you out of the hand of God. No one can take you out of the hand of God. Why? Because he's bigger than everybody. All right, it's like this. You got some big football player. I don't know, who are the big bad football players today? I can't even think of them off the top. You watch them, you can't remember their names. You got some really big football player, and he's got something in his hand. You think somebody's going to go and try to take that out of his hand? Well, God's not a football player. Football players are puny to God. You think somebody's going to take you out of his hand? Not possible. Not possible. God is the biggest, the strongest, the most powerful. Nobody can do anything that God will not allow. And one of the things He will never allow is for you to be taken from Him. Why? Because He loves you. You're precious to Him. You're special to Him. You mean everything to Him. And there's absolutely no way that God will ever allow anybody to separate you from Him. Now, you may turn around. Let's say we're talking and one person decides to turn around. It's a little bit rude. But he's still there. You can't see him, but he's still there. And sometimes we think, well, I've turned around and therefore God's not there. It's kind of like the ostrich mentality. Have you heard of that? About ostriches, they stick their head in the sand if they're afraid and they think whatever has disappeared because they can't see it. It's not really bright. But you know, Christians, we tend to do the same thing sometimes. We've turned around, maybe through bad decisions, and we think all of a sudden God is gone because we can't see Him. No, He's right there. You've just turned around. Turn back around and you'll see Him again. But He's not going to walk away from you because you're in His hand. That's the thing. Let's put it this way. The day that you can leave the universe is the day you can leave God's hand. And I don't know anybody who's actually been able to do that. It's not possible. So you can be completely confident that every single day of your life for eternity, nobody is going to be able to separate you from God because nobody can take you out of His hand. You understand? Okay, good. That's it for now.